This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
NPR fires a commentator for remarks about Muslims. President Obama rallies in Portland, and a missing 93-year-old woman is found after she just goes wandering off.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this. This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, October 21st, 2010. NPR News analyst Juan Williams' outspoken conservative stances have irritated NPR News execs in the past, reports NPR, but his appearance on the O'Reilly Factor was the last straw. Williams appeared on the Fox News Channel on Monday, where host Bill O'Reilly asked him if he thought Muslims present a national dilemma. Williams took the bait and responded, "Look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on the plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried."
Not enough usage of the word garb these days.
No.
Hey, what does garb have to do with gabardine?
Nothing at all.
What does gabardine have to do with gabbo?
I don't know what gabbo is.
From The Simpsons. It's always gabbo this and gabbo that, but never Jesus this and Jesus that. Maybe, I'm a bad little boy.
Maybe gabbo was dressed in gabardine, and hence that's where his name came from.
Okay. What does gabbo have to do with... Never mind. I was going to do gabba gabba hey, and then I was going to do...
Yo gabba gabba.
Gabber, which I believe is a form of industrial music the kids used to listen to before they were aged.
Which is different from jibber jabber, which is what old people think that the young folks do.
That's right.
Williams appeared to be seeking common ground with O'Reilly, who said last week on The View that Muslims killed us on 9/11. Today,
well, only some of us, to be fair. Not all of us.
And it wasn't like all the Muslims who killed
Well, no, you'd need a big plane for that.
Yeah. Today, NPR issued a statement praising Williams' contributions and ending his contract.
Those two things seem to go together about 98% of the time. I can't remember the last time that a company sent out a memo. I don't think it's ever happened, actually. I don't think I've ever been thanked or praised or commended, or congratulated for anything I've ever done. If it wasn't in conjunction with them, like, terminating my employment and telling me to get the F out. It was over there. Rick Emerson has fanned leave, you know? And it was like, there was just some guy writing an email about how swell I was, as in the office next to him, some Dwight-looking bastard was deactivating my key card and was just going, "Where's the wipe all?" There we go. And just deleting all of my emails.
Your service has been treasured. Now, please take this cardboard box and fill it with your things.
We wish, and your self-esteem, and then burn it. We wish you well in your future endeavors, and by future endeavors, we mean standing on the corner like a sad, broken husk of a man. Burned out, a shell, a shadow, A lamprey sucking the joy out of life.
Sorry.
Around 10,000 people, approximately, crowded into the Oregon Convention Center late Wednesday afternoon to hear President Barack Obama's speech in person.
Did you add the word approximately?
I did.
After they said around?
Well, yeah, because this news, around 10,000 people, but it doesn't actually say whose estimate that was.
It's approximately around 10,000.
Because you always have to take those numbers sort of, you know, with a grain of salt. Whenever there's some kind of rally somewhere, the people who put on the rally, like, inflate it by about 50%. And then, you know, if there was any kind of violence, then the police inflate the amount of people there by another 50%. And so it's like suddenly a crowd of 2,000 people becomes a crowd of 15,000 people in the news media.
Maybe they just have somebody there like they have at the Bonneville Dam. You know, like the guy who has to sit in the small room and watch the trout or whatever go by.
With the little clicker in his hand going click,
yeah,
click with each person who goes in.
And if you listen really closely, you can hear his mind snap at about the sixth hour on the job.
Well, I know that the previous news story we read on this said that they were hoping to get 5,000 people there.
That's called managing expectations, is what that is. That's why they're hoping that like one guy will accidentally find the arena, because they were secretly afraid no one would show up.
And now, after the fact, they're saying there were 10,000 people there.
Well, of course. Well, because were you there?
No.
Was I there?
No.
No. So we have no way of knowing whether it's true or not, so they can just say whatever crap they want. And we will mindlessly repeat it.
Well, anyway, a big bunch of people were at the Oregon Convention Center yesterday afternoon. The president was in Portland to campaign in support of the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, John Kitzhaber. This is the beginning of a four-day Western swing where he campaigns for different candidates. The president said Republicans have a simple campaign philosophy leading up to the midterm elections.
This is Obama won.
Yes.
The basis of their campaign is amnesia. They figure you're going to forget. Because you're angry.
Sounds like there's supposed to be more there. I'm not quite sure what he's referring to. Maybe it'll all be explicated in the next soundbite.
He warned a Republican takeover of Congress or the governor's office could have drastic consequences.
Biggest mistake we can do right now is go back to the same policies that caused all this hurt in the first place.
They want to suck your baby's brains out of their soft skulls.
He spoke for about 30 minutes before heading off to attend a private fundraiser. And then
that was nice of him.
Then he went to Seattle for another campaign appearance. Event organizers said the ballroom seats were filled on a first-come, first-served basis, that an indoor overflow room had also been set up. So,
are we still talking about the convention center?
Yeah.
I guess, that, you know, here's the thing. Here's what I'm doing. I'm making a mistake. When you say convention center, and now that I think about it, I'm not sure if I've ever been to the convention center, because as you were just describing it, I realized I was picturing Memorial Coliseum for some reason.
Yeah. No, the convention center is a series of large rooms.
So it's just like a Holiday Inn or something where like the Kiwanis guy goes to speak.
Okay. So the ballroom is fairly huge. And then they also set up an overflow room, which I kind of think, you know, if you go to a thing to go see the president, are you really that satisfied with being in, like, another room that he's not in? Because, you know, there were more people there than they were prepared for?
Well, I guess I could say no, but on the other hand, that would also imply that nobody would go to watch a sporting event at a bar, which they clearly do. So yeah. I guess the idea that maybe you're, like, a series of feet closer to the actual event, if not witnessing the actual event, maybe that's like a close enough for jazz thing for some people.
You gotta really want to see them, though, because I remember they said they were opening the doors at 4:00, and they were seating on a first come first served basis. His plane, Air Force One, landed at the airport at 5:30, where he spoke to Kitzhaber and Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden and a bunch of people, and then he ended up actually going to the convention center and talking to the crowd at 7:00. So these people were waiting around for like 3 hours.
Sort of the Axl Rose of presidential politics.
For him to show up.
They're like, I'll appear when I'm good and ready. I can nuke you all. I'll do it, too.
So he could go, Republicans, bad. Gonna hurt you.
Ooh, scary.
Folks. You folks.
Drop him the G's. Here's, by the way, drop him the G's, that's going to be the name of my first hip-hop recording. Here's Don Taylor.
A 93-year-old Newburgh woman who vanished Tuesday while her family was picking mushrooms in Skamania County has been found. The search for Son Suve began Tuesday afternoon when about 25 researchers spread out on the ground and the Coast Guard helicopter scanned the forested area from above. The search was called off overnight and resumed Wednesday morning, but it wasn't until just after 4 a.m. this morning when searchers finally found her. The rescuers were conducting a tight grid search, and they found her less than a half a mile away from the family car.
Almost the family car?
almost entirely covered in branches and leaves on the ground. She was okay, she said, just trying to stay warm after getting lost.
Wait, I'm unclear. Is this a crazy woman? Is she diminished mentally somehow? Are her faculties not what they used to be? Is she enfeebled?
She's 93.
Yes,
so,
that's a big yes is what that is.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I know. But we all know. We won't say, but we know.
Yeah, so they went mushroom picking sometime after 3 p.m. on Tuesday. She just was gone, they said. So they called search and rescue. She was like a half a mile away covered in leaves.
I wonder if back home there were relatives already starting to divvy up her things and squabbling over who would get the fine bone china.
I know, when she gets home, there's like stickers on all of her stuff with like her nephews and nieces' names on them. Why is this lamp say Kristen?
What are these eBay listings? That's fantastic. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, October 21st, 2010. Cascadia.fm provides this program later via iTunes as well. Also as a direct MP3 download here at this fine website and at LegionofNews.com. That is LegionofNews.com. You can also get it on your mobile, your handheld device, so that wherever ye may roam, you can take the fine illumination of the issues that this program provides. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Here's Don Taylor.
The day after the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, Bill Clinton had a lot on his mind. That day, a new tell-all book claims he did the one thing that presidents are never supposed to do.
Wait. Don't tell me. He did the one thing presidents are never supposed to do. It's hard to imagine which of those things he hadn't already done at that point. Does this have to do with he did the one thing presidents aren't supposed to do? I'm being way too literal about this. I'm thinking constitutionally. Mm. He didn't declare war on anybody.
Well, he did something kind of dumb.
Hard to believe.
That, you know, he forgot something. And he misplaced something that
he misplaced
it's kind of
something.
Important.
He misplaced something. Is it that thing? Is it the thing that the guy follows him with? Is it the foot? What do they call that thing? The football?
No, that's not what he lost, though.
It's not the nuclear thing? The thing that lets him, like, bomb anybody in the world?
You're kind of in the right ballpark, but no, it was not the...
The button?
It was not the button.
Oh, what was it?
He lost the top-secret nuclear codes.
Oh. Okay.
In the new memoir, General Hugh Shelton, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says the codes were actually missing for months. That's a big deal. A gargantuan deal, he writes.
Did Clinton just not tell anybody? Was he just like, well, I'll turn up? And he just kept... Like looking under sofas and like between the cushions of the couch, and
I don't know. I guess you have to read the book, but apparently it's not these things happen. The White House doesn't like to talk about it.
I would imagine
there were rumors that Jimmy Carter once sent the card with the nuclear codes on it to the cleaners with his cleaning.
Hold on, so it's like on one of those like little cards that Canadians always seem to have in Vegas that tells them the blackjack odds.
Yeah, I think it's like a laminated card,
like
or
a tipping
something,
card,
and it has all of the nuclear codes on it.
It's like how to make a martini on one side and how to bomb the Soviet Union on the other.
Another former military official, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Robert Patterson, wrote a book of his own several years ago, and he said the same thing about Clinton losing the nuclear codes. He wrote, "He thought he just placed them upstairs. We called upstairs, we started a search around the White House for the codes, and he finally confessed that he, in fact, misplaced them."
It seems like maybe technology hasn't come to all quarters at the White House. Maybe there's some catching up to be done. So there's only one copy?
Well, you wouldn't want that to get around.
Yeah, but it's not like Clinton got to pick his own codes, or did he? And was it just like password, guest?
Boobies.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Blue dress, 1.
Username. But somebody had to write that up for him, right? Like, somebody had to go, like, and here's your launch codes, pin it to your sleeve.
Yeah.
You know, like Betty Curry or somebody.
A limited number of copies of that.
Maybe that's one of those things.
He's supposed to be the only one who has it.
Well, maybe it's the thing where, like, nobody gets to see all of them. Like, somebody does half and somebody else does but nobody knows who's doing the other half.
Or the president has one copy and there's another one that's in, like, a vault somewhere.
Frozen inside a block of ice like you do with your credit cards.
But apparently he said, no, they're upstairs. Because, like any guy, he didn't want to admit he'd lost them because he figured he could probably find them before anybody else knew. So my husband's done that with, like, returning videos. No, I returned them. And then I'm like, honey, did you return them? Oh, yeah, I returned them. And no, they're still in his car, but he figures he'll return them today.
Sure, yeah.
And then he won't have to admit that he didn't do it. And then, like, 5 days later, I get a call from the video store, and I'm like, you never returned those. He's like, no.
The other guy thing is to just claim that they've been stolen. It was just a claim that some, you know, even if it's an object of negligible value, which this probably isn't, but something that nobody would have any motivation to steal. It's always that, like, you know, it's always that somebody took it. It's not that I'm an idiot and lost something. It's that it was absconded with by gypsies.
I think some homeless guy took it. I saw somebody, like, skulking around my car.
I want to know what the card looks like with the codes on it, and if he does, like, a whole Johnny Bravo Foxtrot thing, or if it is really like he has to recite, like, a whole "The Quick Brown Fox Jumped Over the Lazy, you know, Tortoise."
It's probably one of those, like, really ridiculous codes, like, you know, like L, capital X, 6, lowercase g, 5-4, dash, semicolon.
You just see Clinton in front of his laptop trying to bomb Croatia and just squinting and going, "I don't understand. Is this a 6 or a G? Hold on, now I've only got 2 more tries. It's going to lock me out.
I'm going to have to play that thing where it says the word for me.
Hold on, what does this refresher button do? Did I tell you that this, there was like a listener sent me a screen capture of this? He was trying to do a capture thing on, like, I don't know, eBay or Craigslist or whatever, and it put up, like, a Chinese character on the screen. It's like, please enter this. And it was, like, the character for fire or whatever, and he was just like, I give up. Okay.
Despite little hard evidence, a Brussels school teacher has been sentenced to 30 years in prison for cutting the parachute strings of a romantic rival. 4 years ago, both Els Klottersman and Els Van Doren were involved in a love triangle with their skydiving teacher, Marcel Summers, when Klottermans is believed to have finally snapped. Several days before the fatal jump, Summers chose Van Doren over Klottermans, exiling the 26-year-old to sleep in the living room with Van Doren's parachute. When the group jumped later, Van Doren's parachute mysteriously never opened, and she fell to her death in a garden in Belgium. Klottermans was arrested after the police learned of the affair, and although she maintained her innocence throughout the trial, neither the jury nor the court psychiatrist was convinced. She was found guilty earlier this week, and today the Belgian court sentenced her to 30 years in prison.
Wait, so this took place in, the whole thing took place in Belgium? It's not like she drifted somehow on some sort of a... What do you call it? Like
over the German border and into
one of those things. You're like the tailwind or something. Didn't like fling her across the globe. Because I mean, really, you know, if you're like British or something, really, the last place you want to die is in Belgium. Yeah. It's like dying in Wales.
When your parachute doesn't open, you're not doing a lot of drifting. You're really doing a lot of plummeting.
Nature's an amazing thing, Don. So they just said, like, oh, by the way, about the relationship, you're out, okay?
Yeah.
Thanks. Swell.
Go sleep in the living room.
Here, take my parachute as a pillow.
Go be angry in the next room with my parachute that I'm using tomorrow.
God damn. All right. Yeah, don't screw with people, man. The people are, even D.B. Cooper knew to ask for, like, 3 or 4 different parachutes, because you never know if the man has just been effing with one of them. Christ. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Police say a motorcyclist was critically injured last night when he hit a vehicle after traffic slowed on I-84 to watch President Obama's motorcade.
Start seeing cars, jackass.
Firefighters say the motorcycle was burning when they arrived. Other motorists on the freeway told authorities the rider also had been on fire, and they helped put out the flames and get him away from the bike. Police say the rider apparently did not realize the traffic had slowed as he was looking at Obama's motorcade. Lost control of his bike and then slid underneath the vehicle in front of him.
Is he dead or alive?
He was critically injured. He was taken to Legacy Emanuel Hospital.
Well, so he won't be zipping by me at a deafening volume anytime real soon, though. That's what matters.
No, that's right. The important thing.
He won't be cutting between lanes of traffic while I'm in a red light.
He won't be pulling into one of the apartments in my apartment complex and sitting there idling in the carport listening to his incredibly loud stereo on his motorcycle.
So you're like BTO just wafting across the parking lot. Maybe it was that guy who lives in the apartment building, across the street from me, who is always going to work at like 2 a.m. or something. And I know it's because it's the same time every night. Like, but he has to do that thing of, as you just said, letting the bike warm up for about 40 minutes beforehand and then roaring off. And I don't know what the thing is with bicycles, where there's some specific frequency at which that sound travels, that you can hear. It's like he's left 10 minutes ago, and he's got to be on the other side of the county, and I can still hear him shifting through fifth gear or something.
And you're laying there in bed.
Just filled with hate.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
It just never stops.
Right. Here is Don Taylor.
Jen Sturger, the woman to whom pro football quarterback Brett Favre allegedly sent sexually explicit text messages and pictures. I'm having mouth problems today for some reason.
What is the nature of your mouth difficulty?
I think it's I was not prepared for Vizo. And so I'm having it. Well, you know how sometimes you drink the Vizo and it's very tart?
Yes.
And so like your mouth
squinches up your mouth.
Yeah, your mouth kind of puckers up and you get a little, yeah, you're a little squinchy.
That's why I brush my teeth. I mean, A, I'm just nuts for oral hygiene. And also because as the man says, your teeth are the best friend you have, Don. But also,
I thought that was your dog.
Yeah, but you know, how long does a dog really last? And I mean, you can't cut a steak with your dog. Mm. Because you get the weird citrusy, like, in your mouth. It's like you've just got a sudden case of dry mouth, but only in certain parts of the inside of your mouth.
It's
kind of
like the opposite of dry mouth because you're actually making more saliva, but your mouth is squinching up.
But
at
it's
the
sort
same
of compressing. It's very weird. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
try that again. Just back up and take a good run at it.
Jen Sturger, the woman to whom pro football quarterback Brett Favre allegedly sent sexually explicit text messages and pictures, has hired a law firm to represent her. At a news conference Wednesday, Brett Favre refused to comment.
League issue.
Can you at least answer why you haven't denied the story?
You know what? I mean, the one thing I'm going to say is that's something that's within the league.
You know, how satisfying would it be?
The league? It's in your phone.
How great would it be, though, if he just, like, if the reporter does that jackass thing that apparently every reporter must do now? Why aren't you denying this thing that there's no evidence for yet? If Favre just went down there and just, like, elbowed him right in the teeth, you know, just deny that.
Why won't you talk about this thing that we all know you aren't going to talk about?
Seriously. I mean, you were a journalist. It's the whole non-denial. You know, Brett Favre, some people say that you, in fact, killed Christ. Why won't you deny killing Christ? Which is a thing I wouldn't do to Brett Favre, because he's probably not going to... Here's the thing. He's not going to come body check you in the middle of a press conference. He'll wait, you know? Or he'll have a guy do that for him. There'll be some guy that just comes and just despines you.
Well, it's also one of the worst positions to be in as a journalist, because everybody at the press conference knows he is not going to say anything.
Right.
And yet, their bosses are saying, well, you got to ask.
Ask him.
Ask the question. Somebody's got to ask the question. You know, it's like, well, he's not going to answer. Well, you got to ask the question.
That is the stuttering Johnification. Of journalism.
At this news, Favre was asked why he doesn't deny the allegations.
It's a league issue that I'll just have to leave it at that.
All right. Well, there you go. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. You can also get it on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up later on today, 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program is available over at rickemerson.com. We got a snuff watch coming up today. I know of whom you speak. Snuff Watch coming up today. Geek Watch coming up today. Darwin Watch coming up. Really? All of that?
Yes.
What a fantastic program. Darwin
it's a
Watch.
Day of death.
it really is. I hadn't really thought about that. The Darwin Watch, the Snuff Watch, and then the Geek Watch. I mean, that guy, you expect him to keel over at any moment anyway. We got all of that coming up. We also have another installment of the greatest songs ever made, plus the top five. Speaking of a day called death, today we have the top five songs about serial killers. Top five songs about serial killers. That's coming up later on today in the Rick Emerson radio program. If you say to yourself, by God, I twist the knobs and dials furiously when 1 o'clock comes and I just can't seem to locate it, you find that at rickemerson.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. And really, if you wouldn't do it for me, you probably wouldn't do it for Dawn, I mean, by extension. But if you wouldn't do it for us, do it for serial killing. Do it for the pure musical expression. Of ongoing serial killer-induced death. I mean,
I take exception to the idea that if someone wouldn't do something for you, then they wouldn't do it for me. I'm sure there are people who would do all kinds of things for me that wouldn't do anything for you. I am loved. I am beloved by thousands.
Okay. You're so cute. In any event, you can find out more about that at rickemerson.com. Here at Legion of News, however, we want to thank a brand new business partner for helping to keep this program jammed into your ears every single weekday. That is squireselectric.com. Squireselectric.com. It has to do with wires or wiring in your home or a business. They can make your life easier. And speaking of things that guys always do, you were just mentioning Patrick, and the thing is, he really doesn't screw around with the electrical system in your house. That's a thing he probably... There's a line of demarcation that it's pretty bold, where when something doesn't quite work, or there's a weird zapping sound, or maybe there's just showers of sparks just spraying out of something in the wall, and he probably says, no, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going to call the electrical guy. and have him, you know, or you get a landlord or whatever. You're just going to get somebody to kill. Like, he knows not to screw with that, right?
He's really, really smart about not screwing with the things that he knows nothing about, to the point of, like, you know, sometimes, like with you and the battery in your car that one time, and I was like, did you check the battery? You're like, no. I'm like, come on. I'm actually more handy than Patrick is in a lot of ways. We recently had a thing where the toilet did that thing where it wouldn't stop running.
Right.
And I was like, you just gotta, like, adjust the ball cock thing. And he's just looking at me like, I'm like, give me the screwdriver, I'll do it. So I got in there and did it.
Just doing the slow Homer Simpson blink.
But both of us know not to touch anything with electricity in it because we'll just die.
And I swear to God, by the way, I'm going to locate that whole thing with the Mr. Kite guy that aired through here in the late 70s and the 80s and the I Like Frogs. Later on today, I'm having lunch with a friend of mine who has interviewed the guy who played Mr. Kite. I'm going to ask him about it, because if anybody's going to have a copy lurking in his archives, it's going to be this guy. So I'm hoping to track that down. In the meantime, in between time, for electrical wiring, whether it's at your home, whether it's at you're building a different room in your house, you're expanding a wing in your business, maybe you got a brand new business. Maybe, here's the thing, maybe you're not even building the actual structure. Maybe the building itself is all good, ready to go, except it's just not wired for what your business needs. The internet wiring or the electrical wiring is just from a different era, a different time, a different kind of business that was done there previously, and you need it to be revamped. Sometimes it's been damaged, it's been fire damage or water damage. Screw with that yourself. No, I mean, you know, the danger element aside, just takes a lot of time. You can have people come do that for you. Squires Electric, they are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical contractors in Portland for 12 years. 503-252-1609. SquiresElectric.com. 503-252-1609. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Here's science on the march. It's Thursday right here at Legion of News.
They may be small as grains of salt, but new batteries being developed by scientists from the University of California, Los Angeles, still pack the power of their larger kin. Although they likely won't appear anytime soon in your laptop or smartphone, these tiny batteries could eventually power everything from robots to medical implants. According to Jane Chang, an engineer at UCLA who's developing the new batteries, she said, "We're trying to achieve the same power densities, the same energy densities as traditional lithium-ion batteries." She presented her findings this week at the AVS 57th International Symposium and Exhibition.
And then Ron Jeremy came out to speak to the crowd.
That's a different
AVS.
Yeah, this AVS, not the AVS. Yeah. Okay. The key to the tiny batteries is their architecture. The UCLA scientists say start with a field of tiny nanowires, then they deposited layers of nano-sized lithium aluminosilicate to the nanowires, creating a three-dimensional structure. Most batteries today have a two-dimensional structure. Expanding up instead of just out would mean the battery can hold more energy in a smaller space. The textured surface also increases the surface area of the battery, making it easier to pass power between the battery's components and the electrolyte, the conductive material that allows current to flow. Batteries that are the size of a grain of salt or smaller could power sensors that detect viruses, chemicals, and more. Eventually, these microscopic batteries will power microscopic robots
Here's what I don't understand. If we can run a clock off a potato, why do they need a battery for something that goes in your body? You're larger than a potato, Don. Why can't you just, unless it was an exceptionally, like a huge potato.
Well, for one thing, a potato would rot if it was installed in your body.
No, I'm not. Wow, you've drastically misheard what I was referring. I wasn't suggesting they fill you full of potatoes.
That's what it sounds like.
That wouldn't make any sense. That would just be weird. If they were going to cut you open and stick a potato in you, why wouldn't they just put like an actual battery there while they had you open? I'm saying, if a potato can power a clock, why can't your actual body, power like a thing that is smaller than a clock?
Because I'm not made from potatoes.
All right, I'm going to move on. There's some sort of reverse Babelfish effect happening here, where I'm saying something and you're hearing this like... And so, I'm just going to forget I spoke. Let's just redact that entire thing. Jesus. Because I'm bigger than a potato and I'm not made of potato. That should be your default answer to everything. Like, we have the generic soundbite. That should be your generic answer. Well, because I'm bigger than a potato. And then just bat your eyelashes. Here's Dawn Taylor.
The next time you're inclined to enjoy an extra glass of wine, consider that it may be a reflection of your intelligence. That is one of the findings from data from the National Child Development Study in the United Kingdom and the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health in the United States. Childhood intelligence, measured before the age of 16, was categorized in five cognitive classes, ranging from very dull, dull, normal, bright, and very bright. The Americans were revisited 7 years later. The British youth, on the other hand, were followed in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Researchers measured their drinking habits as the participants became older. More intelligent children in both studies grew up to drink alcohol more frequently and in greater quantities than less intelligent children. In the Brits' case, very bright children grew up to consume nearly 8/10 of a standard deviation more alcohol than their very dull cohorts. Researchers controlled for demographic variables such as marital status, parents' education, earnings, childhood social class, and more that have also affected adult drinking. Still, the findings held true. Smarter kids were drinking more when they became adults.
It's the only way you can dull the existential horror of being smart, Don.
Well, Psychology Today magazine believes that there's an evolutionary reason for this. Their hypothesis is that drinkable alcohol is a relatively novel invention of 10,000 years ago. Our ancestors had previously gotten their alcohol through eating rotten fruits, so more intelligent humans may be more likely to choose modern alcoholic beverages. So there you go.
So they're suggesting, but is the corollary to that that just the people who are slightly lower are sitting at home eating rancid, like melon or something?
Quite possibly.
I don't know. Bring me that moldy cantaloupe. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. It's not a very good hypothesis in my view.
That's a waste of money, that study they've done. I hate to say that about something with, involving science and booze, but that's stupid what they've done there. There's just no reason for that. That didn't need to exist. Here's Don Taylor.
The newfound discovery of the oldest flour in the world, and that's flour as in refined wheat stuff.
Ah, I see. All right.
Suggests that cavemen who were thought to live almost entirely on meat may have had a more balanced diet than was thought. Researchers generally assumed that in Europe during the Paleolithic or Old Stone Age, human diets consisted almost totally of animal meat and fat, only rarely involving vegetables. Now scientists using optical and electron microscopy have found in 30,000-year-old stones that there's flour on them at archaeological sites in Italy, Russia, and the Czech Republic. The pattern of wear and tear on the stones suggests they were used for grinding roots and grains in a manner similar to a pestle. The residues on the grindstones seem to come mostly from cattails and fern plants, which are rich in starch. These starch grains suggest food processing of plants and possibly flour production was common and widespread across Europe at least 30,000 years ago.
I was weighing several jokes in my head just now as you were reading that, and I don't feel that any of them are either. Several of them are just probably inappropriate, and the others aren't funny. So I'm going to have to come back to that later on. Maybe tomorrow I'll have a witty rejoinder. And it'll come out of nowhere, by the way. It won't be associated with the story.
Flour?
No, see that? No. That's not even really a joke. That's just a thing. That's just a word. Would you like to hear one of the sample jokes I was working on?
Yes, please.
You'll see now why I didn't voice this aloud. This is just for contextual purposes, so you can just see how the inside of my mind operates. As you were talking about ancient peoples and having a more balanced diet than we'd expected, I was working on some joke to the effect of, this is sort of like a deleted scene on a DVD where you go, oh, I see why Fincher cut that out. It's not even color corrected. He knew early on that wouldn't work. I was going to have some joke about they had to wait for their slave labor to build the food pyramid. See, not funny.
There's something there, though.
But not finished, though. It's like in its embryonic state.
Plus, it's Europe and not where, pyramids actually were.
Yeah, a pyramid schmirmid. Yeah. So I'm just saying, two or three more evolutions, and that would have been a funny joke, but now, no. Maybe tomorrow.
There's something there. That's all our science news.
All right, there you go. There's your science news, and, it's obviously related slave humor for Thursday. All right, here at Legion of News. You know what is in Europe, Don?
What?
Spain.
Spain. España.
You know what comes from Spain?
Fava beans?
Yes, and also those blackout curtains that I covet for the studio, because they stop even the tiniest hint, the tiniest trace of sunlight from coming through. So this is totally true. Now, this sounds like a thing that I'm making up, by the way, just for the purposes of talking about Castalia language center. I'm not. I swear to God this is true. As I speak these words here, it's 12:35 p.m. Pacific time here in Portland, Oregon. So about like 3 hours ago. I got a call from my wife. She is in Madrid, which she has announced, by the way, and she's informed me that she's just going to eventually live there. And if I'd like to come along, that's swell. But I think that my failure to move there with her would not be an impediment. I don't think that would actually, I don't think that would wouldn't be a roadblock to her actually relocating. So apparently she's just going to live in Spain at some point. She's decided it's the best place ever. So much so that she's not even going to Morocco. She actually just said, and I'm sorry if you're Moroccan and listening to this, she just said, F Morocco. She just said, F Morocco and everybody there. I'm staying in Madrid. Anyway, so, you know, but one of the, what, obviously, you know, Madrid is apparently a great city, and Spain is a great place and a home of a lot of world culture and whatever. She also noted, though, one of the great things about being Madrid, as opposed to like Istanbul, where she's been the last couple of weeks, is that in Madrid, less of a language barrier. You know why? Because she speaks some Spanish. Mm. So if you are lamenting the shoddy state of your bilingualism, and you would like to learn Spanish.
Or if you want to hang out with Rick's wife.
Seriously, she's going to need company while she's there, apparently. And look, you know, Rick Emerson's a broad-minded individual. I can probably be made to, you know, to be okay with all kinds of things. So, you know, whatever. Long as those checks keep arriving in the bank, it doesn't really matter to me. That's everything else is ancillary. What was I saying? Something about, yes, Spanish and language. Hello. And welcome to Legion of News, the Spanish portion. Castalia Language Center will help you learn Spanish as a second language or a third language or whatever it is that you whatever it is you've learned before. They will adjust to that, whether you've got some Spanish knowledge or whether you've, you know, you've learned it you know, fluently at one point, but you just need to brush up on it. They can help you with that, and they can do it at a time that works with your schedule. So whatever the day of the week is, whatever the time of the day is, and they're going to do it in a class of only seven other people. So it's you and seven other people, leading to a total of...
Ocho?
Don't why you gotta be all, like, today, you're just all tentative about it. Every other day, I'm three words into the spot. Castalia Language, Ocho! Like, screaming it from the back of the room. Now, today, you gotta, like, you know, quaver.
I'm questioning myself today.
Live in the now, Don. Don't dwell. Don't dwell on the mistakes of a few minutes ago.
Okay.
See, I'm not even really referring to a mistake there.
Ocho!
It seems like I can psych you out. Anyway, Castalia Language Center can be found out more about, I say, ending a sentence with a preposition and inadvertently rhyming at the same time, at PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. It is Spanish language classes for adults, which means you're going to be learning with other folks at the same rate, in the same way, at the same time. PortlandSpanish.com. That is how you learn more about Castalia Language Center. That is your Science on the March for Thursday. Here is Dawn Taylor.
California vote. Oh, that's all the science. There's no
there you
science.
Go.
There. California voters could make their state the first in the nation to fully legalize marijuana on November 2nd. Dr. Sonia Patel prescribes... Yes. Prescribes medical marijuana on a regular basis and even advertises her services on street billboards.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I strictly follow all the laws. And since I really believe in what I'm doing, I see nothing wrong with aggressively marketing.
She sounds cute. I'd like to get to know her.
I was listening, by the way, to a piece on NPR. They had some... I'm not sure exactly who the guy was. I missed the beginning of the piece.
Was he screaming about Muslims?
It was,
that would help narrow it down a little bit.
No, it was for... he's some kind of a journalist. And for a piece he was doing, they asked him to get a medical marijuana card. And,
right.
And get. And so he was talking about how...
absurdly easy it is.
Yeah. That he just went to a doctor and said something like, you know, decided to actually, you know, say, I have some lower back pain. And the guy was like... I'm a gynecologist.
There you go.
And he's like, oh, okay. And then he wrote him a prescription.
See, the deal is now, and this is not to be all about me, but just about me for 1 second. Everybody, you really, and I'm not just saying this because it's like a thing that I do. You really, really, really should watch this Sunday's episode of Outlook Portland, which is on cable channel 3 on Northwest 32 TV, The CW.
Home of Gossip Girl and Hellcats.
And Vampire Diaries, and also me, Rick Emerson. Because this coming Sunday, we talked to some folks who are behind Measure 74, which is the thing that would revamp medical marijuana here in Oregon. And... you know, the thing where, like, we just, like, on this show and on the other, you know, Rick Emerson show, we've lamented for the longest time that there's just, like, things we could never get the answers to. I could never just get somebody to tell me, like, whether medical marijuana, whether you can prescribe it here or not. By the way, you can't. That doctors cannot prescribe medical marijuana in Oregon, nor would they be able to. All they can do is recommend. That's a thing that I found out. But it was the greatest thing, because it was basically just half an hour where I got to just interrogate this guy with, like, all of the different questions I've ever had. It's not like I even, you know, use medical marijuana. I just don't. It just was so frustrating that I could never get an answer to the whole thing. There are a few things that are still gray areas. At one point, I asked him, I said, okay, so if you got medical marijuana and it's legal here, and it's legal in like five other states, I said, what if, can you just go through PDX with it? You know, can you just go, like, go, can you just walk through airport security with your medical marijuana? And he said, this is the best thing. He just said, no one really knows. So that's just the thing where they need to arrest somebody, and then that somebody needs to sue the state for there to be a law. Right now, it's just sort of a gray area.
Nice.
But that's going to be this coming Sunday in Outlook Portland. It's a whole thing about medical marijuana here in Oregon.
And it'll be at 6:30 in the morning, so, you know, set your DVR.
Well, let's be honest. If you're still up at 6:30 in the morning, you probably already got your card, if you know what I'm saying.
Former White House drug policy spokesman Bob Weiner is concerned about the medical marijuana laws that are already in place.
Law enforcement is saying that between 90 and 95% of the people that go to the medical quote-unquote clinics in California
quote
are
unquote.
Going there just to get marijuana and aren't really sick. So that's a fraud to begin with. It's a front, a fraud, and a red herring.
So it's not... Okay, those are three words that mean the same thing. It's not... So it's
well,
not really
red,
a clinic.
A red herring has nothing to do with what he's talking about.
No, but he said a front, a fraud, and a red herring.
Yeah, red herring.
Those are three things that all mean the same thing.
No, not a red
herring.
Yeah,
a red herring is a false lead. A red herring is a falsehood.
Well, it's just different from a front,
a front and
or
a fraud.
No,
it's not. It's a thing. It's a diversionary tactic that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
If a television program led you to believe that JR was shot by Mary Ellen, really he was shot by Sue,
mm-hmm.
then that's a red herring. It's also fraudulent.
It's not a front.
It is. If a front and a fraud are the same thing, and a fraud and a red herring are the same thing, then through the transitive property, they're all the same thing.
Hmm. I'm not buying it.
I brought the math. There's no... I'm sorry. There's just no way around it.
Anyway.
You want me to look it up right now?
I do not.
How about if I'm right, you have to do 10 push-ups in front of me, and I get to film it?
I can't do push-ups.
Okay. You know what? I'm willing to make that side of the bet. I'm just saying, that's how confident Rick Emerson is in his synonym, you know.
I am saying that red herring and front and fraud are not interchangeable.
Let's listen one more time. Hold on.
Law enforcement is saying that between 90 and 95% of the people that go to the medical quote-unquote clinics in California...
I'm sorry, I can't get past the quote-unquote clinics.
...marijuana and aren't really sick.
So all right, I've moved on from the front fraud thing. You just know when you listen to this... He's saying, quote unquote, and you know he's also doing the thing with his fingers, too.
Yeah.
That's like a belt and suspenders. You just don't. That's unnecessary. So it's not really a clinic so much as it is like a wheel of cheese.
How cool is it, though, that his name is Bob Weiner?
Is it Weiner or Weiner?
Well, it's spelled W-E-I-N-E-R, so it could be pronounced either way.
I guess either would really work in this context.
Yeah. And he's a former White House drug policy spokesman. So I don't even know what his job actually is, other than just be against everything.
Does it say under what White House?
No.
Was this the White House that made Elvis a DEA agent?
A medical marijuana patient, Jane Klein, explains why she has a prescription for it.
I use it for emotional balance in our society.
We tend
to use external substances to help to celebrate and help us recover from a shock. And I've used cannabis that way probably since the Sgt. Pepper album was released.
That's why she has a prescription? I can get a prescription for needing something to celebrate with?
I'm sorry.
Who writes a... Take one marijuana cigarette for listening to rock and roll albums.
I swear to God, she had me sort of until the end when she just said, this is exactly the kind of person, by the way, that I'm sure the medical marijuana movement really wants after being interviewed by reporters. Well, when I got that Abraxas record, it didn't really make any sense, and I was confused. And then I got the medical marijuana card, and now it's like Carlos is speaking directly to me.
I got my medical marijuana prescription so I could more fully enjoy pet sounds.
By the way, let's not have any illusions about this. I know a lot of chicks that could use some emotional balancing. I mean, that's not, like, even debatable, but I mean...
I use it for emotional balance in our society. We tend to use external substances to help to celebrate and help us recover from a shock. And I've used cannabis that way probably since the Sgt. Pepper album was released.
That's awesome. That is just fantastic. All right. There's something great about a law that not even, you know, it's like not the reporters, not the news organizations, that no one takes seriously. You know, I mean, there's just something sort of great about that, it's a Schedule I narcotic. I'm not saying it ought to be or that it's fair that it is, but I mean, marijuana is a Schedule I drug. It's like it's classed in the same category as heroin. And yet you can tell that just no one takes it seriously anywhere at all, ever, under any circumstances.
Well, except for former White House drug policy spokesman Bob finger quotes Weiner.
That's fantastic. I like how you've recovered, by the way. Whatever your boggle was a few minutes ago, it's gone. Because that was good right there.
Oh,
Bob Finger quotes Weiner. Oh, goddamn people, they're dumb. All right, well, in any event. Your list, and that, I don't know if that's a scientific fact or not, but it's a thing about which I got a strong hunch. You're listening to a Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up today at 1 o'clock. We've got a Geek Watch coming up, Darwin Watch, speaking of people being dumb, Snuff Watch, also top five songs about a serial killer. We've also got another installment of the greatest songs ever made, so that is all on the way. Still on the way this hour, you have entertainment news here at LegionofNews.com, brought to you by CJ's High Climbing Services. I don't have time to read the entire email again. I will just say that if you heard yesterday's Rick Emerson show, you heard us read an email from, and in fact, I can now reveal it. I didn't know if she wanted me to say who it was or not, but it was our good friend Jenny, who was in the studio that day with the Pearl Jam list. And I didn't give her name because it's like don't identify the names of like child victims of things because it would reveal the kid. I didn't know if she wanted her husband revealed as the clown in the story. No offense, in the story, who was like trying to climb onto his roof. I swear to Christ, trying to climb onto the roof to fix something, but neither of his ladders were long enough, and so he just got one of those like telescoping ladders and literally just like stacked it on top of another. Like a cheap ass like painting the side of your home ladder that he got from from the hardware store for like $12. You're just stacking, not even fastening them together, just like leaning one on the other. And then she was just looking at the front window and she just saw these two ladders being stacked and then him climbing up, and she just ran out and threw open the front door and just yelled, "The answer is no." And so I didn't identify her because I didn't want to identify him. And she emailed me last night. She's like, no. She's like, go ahead and identify him. She's like, if I hadn't married him, he'd be dead by now because he's a doofus. By the way, that's her actual quote, man. So don't messenger message. Don't get on me about that.
My whole thing with her husband, by the way, he is just always burned in my head as the guy who bought the giant plate of nachos.
The 1,000-pound nachos. That
he seemed really proud of himself, too. That was the other thing. We're at the bowling alley at the Sleep Country bowling thing, and it's like, I got some nachos if anyone wants any. I look over, and there's like the hugest stacked up high massive platter of nachos I've ever seen, and he's standing there just grinning, thrilled with himself, like he had hunted and gathered those nachos himself.
I was going to say, like a dog who brings you an especially large squirrel or something.
And Jenny's just shaking her head sadly next to him.
No offense. Well, in any event, don't be that guy. I mean, unless you're him, in which case, telling you not to be him would just be, that would give you some sort of weird crisis of the soul, I would imagine. But if you are dealing with the roof issue, or you just got the rain gutters, and it's like they get the thing where the plants actually just clog up and they gunk up in there and they sprout. And here's the thing: sometimes you can actually see the leaves growing out of the rain gutter. At least you know they're there. You get the moss or the mold or the algae or whatever growing in the rain gutter, you're not even going to know it. It's just going to start cascading water down, onto your head as you're trying to leave the house. You won't even know what's happening there. So whether it's Sean or Bo or Lauren or any of the guys from CJ's, any of the crew there, they are really the people you want to call for this at 503-228-9278 for dangerous, messy, or unpleasant maintenance jobs around the house. And as we said, I think the very first day that they were a partner with the show here, they can actually, most of the time, not always, they can usually give you a free estimate just using Google Earth, which is sort of great, and a little bit creepy, I suppose, but mostly the great part. And hey, if it saves you money, who cares if it's creepy, right? So, CJ'sHighClimbing.com is the website, or 503-228-9278. Find us at 503-228-9278. Here is Don Taylor.
By the way, if you go to www.wienerpublic.com, you can find all of the background about Bob Finger Quotes Wiener, including a big photo of him. That's him.
Oh, that guy's a tool.
Yeah, he's a complete tool.
All right.
Let's do our entertainment news.
One of us should totally get a medical marijuana card, just because.
I was thinking about that, actually, just yesterday. We could do that as an ongoing bit.
No. We wouldn't do it as a bit, Don, because that really would be fraudulent. We're saying one of us should do it because we have a pressing need for that, and it's a medical condition.
I have arthritis.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
I have a bad knee. I could use pain.
You don't want Bob Wiener coming after you with that. Yeah. Here's your entertainment news for Thursday, right here at Legion of News.
A former Playboy Playmate of the Year who appeared in the horror movie Rosemary's Baby has been charged with shooting her boyfriend at their Hollywood apartment. The district attorney's office said 66-year-old Victoria Rathgeb pleaded not guilty to attempted murder on Tuesday. She remains jailed on $1.5 million bail and could face up to life in prison if convicted. Police say she shot her boyfriend during a domestic dispute Saturday evening. Los Angeles police spokeswoman Norma Eisenman said the man, whose identity wasn't released, remains in critical condition. Rathgeb was 1968's Playmate of the Year under the name of Angela Dorian. She had TV and movie roles in the 60s and 70s and played a recovering heroin addict in the 1968 hit Rosemary's Baby.
Rathgeb?
Rathgeb.
Okay, can see why she changed
but
that.
But she was in 1968's Playmate of the Year as Angela Dorian.
Hey, did you notice on that episode of Mad Men where they were at the Playboy Club? And what's his name? The British guy is like,
Price.
Price is introducing his father to the Playboy bunny that he was dating or whatever. Did you look at the background, the decor of the club at all?
Not really.
It's the background. All of the photos seem to be of Barbie Benton, who was a very famous Playboy playmate and who was Hugh Hefner's live-in girlfriend for a long time. And I don't know if that was like intentional, if that's the way those clubs were really decorated. But that was, I don't know why that just occurred to me just now. But you're talking about Playboy magazine and how over the years certain playmates have just stood out as being very just being distinctive or establishing some huge cult following or whatever. And she was one of them. I have to go look up to see if that's actually a thing that Hefner just decreed. If, the shots of his girlfriend had to be hung in every Playboy club everywhere.
I actually went to a Playboy club once, but I can't remember a lot about the decor. I remember mostly being...
Like in L.A. or something?
Yeah, in Los Angeles. And just being kind of freaked out by the whole thing and just being fascinated by the bunnies themselves with their insanely architecturally constructed outfits and doing that bunny dip thing to turn sideways because... first of all, they can't bend at the waist in those outfits.
Right.
And plus, they don't want to, actually...
If your cakes fall out.
And they don't want to put their boobs in anybody's face because they were trying to avoid being grabbed as much as possible. So they taught them this very specific way to put drinks down on the table by standing sideways and then putting the tray down with one hand while they dipped at the knees. And they called it the bunny dip.
It was like a sideways curtsy, sort of, in a weird way.
That was very strange.
The hottest thing about the Playboy the Playboy bunny chicks is the cuffs, the cutoff tuxedo cuffs.
Yeah, the bow tie.
Yeah, hot chick, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like those details that really do make the whole thing very sad. Because otherwise it's just some chick in a weird, dressed like a rabbit. And that's just odd. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Between Playboy's soft focus lens and Hustler's potty jokes, Bob Guccione found a niche for Penthouse Magazine, the men's magazine that became a multi-million dollar business. Guccione passed away yesterday in Texas at age 79 after a long battle with cancer. Though Guccione was most famous for the full-frontal Penthouse magazine, he used the proceeds from the publication to fund other magazines, including the science publication Omni.
I didn't know that he was behind Omni.
Yeah.
Well done, Bob Guccione.
While Guccione's idea of business casual was a shirt split to the navel and a cluster of gold chains, he portrayed himself as something of a prude. He once said, "No one has ever been in my swimming pool without a bathing suit."
He actually threw somebody out of a party one time, famously, for jumping into a swimming pool fully clothed or whatever, because he said he didn't condone, raucous behavior at his house.
Guccione was born in New Jersey, spent his youthful years studying painting in Rome and London, and worked as a private eye before founding Penthouse in 1965.
Boy, and however sedate he may have been in private, he just looks like the sleaziest guy alive.
Oh, yeah. So does his son.
I hate his son. You talk about a guy that should have just been eaten by rabid wolves. Him and his, then whatever. Anyway, but yeah, you see Bob Guccione Jr. and his kid, but they both just look so unbelievably sleazy. I mean, relentlessly sleazy. And I guess with the dad, at least, you can go, well, hey, I published Penthouse. With the kid, you realize that's just something in the genes,
that's
apparently.
That's just genetics.
It's just a bum draw, kid. Sorry about that.
John Lennon would have turned 70 years old this month. His wife, Yoko Ono, says she believes the former Beatle would be an activist if he were still alive. Ono says she learned of his death at the hospital when the doctor brought her Lennon's ring.
If I had a quarter, I'd flip it right now to decide whether or not we actually want to hear these Yoko Ono cuts.
Oh, we do.
All right, hold on. Here's a Yoko Ono.
He said that he passed away. I said, no, he didn't. He's alive, very, very upset about it, And I just refuse to think that he died.
Ono says she hopes people remember his expansive spirit.
I know that people love him for what he has given them, because he did give a lot.
All right, well, there we go.
Yeah, that happened.
I'll refrain from snark.
Oscar-winning actor Nicolas Cage said today that nations must work together in the battle against organized crime.
Why was Nicolas Cage saying this?
He's a United Nations goodwill ambassador for global justice.
Okay.
He said the threat posed by criminal networks is too big for communities or states to confront on their own, so that countries must cooperate with one another. He told delegates at a conference aimed at boosting support for a UN convention to curb organized crime. Organized crime is a deadly infection that preys on human beings. It sows fear and violence in cities, towns, and villages around the world.
Did he say it in like an exhaling asthmatic wheeze as he does everything?
I'm fairly sure he did.
All right.
Yes. He described being a UN goodwill ambassador as his most challenging and meaningful role yet, and divulged that he even once considered leaving the movie business to devote more time to helping others. At some point, I wanted to stop being an actor and start taking action, he said.
Is that your Nicolas Cage?
I don't really do imitations.
I can't really do it, but the thing about Nicolas Cage is he just says everything in a long exhale like this.
Oh, yeah, that's better. It still doesn't really sound.
Yeah, no, it's not even a rasp. It's like a wheeze. It's sort of a, he kind of sounds like Butthead when Butthead from Beavis and Butthead is doing the, now I've lost the thread. It's like Butthead who does an impersonation of one of the guys from Ween or something, and he talks a lot like this, and that's kind of how Nicolas Cage is, just one sort of a, where everything kind of comes out as one sort of big long exhale from the lungs. Also, you know, whatever. This just points out that yesterday, did you notice this? That yesterday, the beginning of the second show, the beginning of the Emerson show, I actually played that Lord of War cut without screwing it up. We've tried three different times to start the show with that Lord of War cut, and it has never gone correctly. Yesterday, I played it flawlessly. So there you go. Which is a pro, because they just arrested that guy like last week. So, all right.
That's really all the entertainment news.
There's your entertainment news. That is brought to you by The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. So whatever there might be in your home that your pets have destroyed, or that, you know, maybe you've destroyed it, you're going to blame on the pets because nobody was around to see it. And, hey, they're dogs, so, you know, they got to take that heat. You can call Michael Beatty, and he will come, and he'll get that out of your carpet, the linoleum, the walkway, flagstones, you know, the upholstery, anything like that. And whether it's stains, sometimes it's the staining of the air. Sometimes it's an olfactory stain. I guess we just call it a smell, but he can get rid of that, too. It's 971-533-3211. Michael Beatty, The Cleaning Solution. Here is Don Taylor.
Republican Delaware Senate candidate Christine O'Donnell said she regrets airing the campaign ad in which she declared, "I'm not a witch." Speaking to ABC's Good Morning America in an interview broadcast this morning, O'Donnell agreed with the suggestion that the ad only brought fresh attention to the issues surrounding her past statements as a TV commentator. "I haven't publicly stated this, and I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this, but our intention was to kill it, and that's not what happened," she said. O'Donnell's comments about witchcraft were made over a decade ago during a taping of Bill Maher's politically incorrect TV show. "I dabbled into witchcraft. I never joined a coven," she said. She also defended comments made during a recent debate with Democratic rival Chris Coons, in which she challenged him to show where the Constitution requires separation of church and state. "The words calling for separation don't actually appear in the Constitution," she told ABC. In a lighthearted exchange near the end of the interview, O'Donnell was asked what costume she would wear for Halloween. "I'm certainly not going to be a witch," she said. She joked that she may dress up as Dorothy, an apparent reference to the heroine of The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. So there you go. I think it was my brother sent me an email to the effect that the same week that, like, in Sweden they were giving out Nobel Prizes for science, we actually had a candidate for, you know, a fairly important governmental office on television denying that she was a witch. Yeah. And that one of these continents seemed to be moving backward a little bit in terms of social evolution.
Yeah, a little bit.
Don Taylor.
A group that says it's been targeted by President Barack Obama set up a protest in Portland on Wednesday ahead of the campaign stop for Barack visiting, campaigning for Kitzhaber. Americans for Prosperity of Oregon said Obama has accused the group of being funded by foreign interests.
Americans for Prosperity of Oregon?
Yes.
Doesn't make any sense at all. I don't understand. What's the object in that sentence?
Well, I think the national group is Americans for Prosperity, and then they are Americans for Prosperity of Oregon.
I thought it was sort of a nice thing that, like, maybe the people from the other 49 states had come here because they were really concerned that we weren't making enough money.
No, they're a group that wants to reduce the size and intrusiveness of government and return government to its constitutional limits. they say.
As much as it affects white people, anyway.
Anyway, they say Obama has accused them of being funded by foreign interests. They started a rally at noon at Michael's Italian Beef and Sausage Shop on Sandy Boulevard to protest.
Things that aren't American.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's fantastic. I can't top that. We'll go out on that, huh?
I think that's good.
Jesus. It's a world gone mad. This has been Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today in your iTunes or through your RSS reader of choice. You can also get it as a direct download here at Cascadia.fm or LegionofNews.com. Coming up next, the Rick Emerson Radio Program featuring Geek Watch, Snuff Watch, Darwin Watch, greatest songs ever made, and today, the top five songs about serial killers. That's coming up at RickEmerson.com in just a few minutes from now. The Rick Emerson Show coming up in a few minutes. Legion of News, however, comes to you live each and every weekday from noon to 1 right here at Cascadia.fm. And at the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. We will be back again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Until then, thank you for listening. Have a pleasant Thursday, won't you?